Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour.
Before that, or just before that, because it's four verses later that it talks about the tribulation period. And this 17 verse 1 could be right before that. So if we see that happening, you better pack.
Yeah, because we'd be very close. We could see that in our lifetime, and it may be before the day of the Lord.
It might be. It may be, but it will happen because the Bible says so. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now, next week is a special day, a special few days, actually. It's called the Feast of Purim, and it's on February 28th and March 1st. And it's just amazing, isn't it, John, when you look back in history and see how often Satan has tried to annihilate the Jewish race, as we see in the book of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And remember 2 weeks ago when we were on, I suggested some homework.
Yes, you did suggest to read the story again, the book of Esther, and look at the characters to see if you could come up yourselves, you listeners and our students, if you could come up yourself with some typology.
Right. And, you know, I want to mention that again, that Shofar Ministries really is a ministry geared to stir the Christians up mm-hmm. to want to study God's Word more. Because when you study more, you become sanctified quicker.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you've got to get your flesh sanctified, because if you don't, you're going to be sinning a lot more than you really want to.
Yes.
You know, we have to crucify that flesh. So anyway, here's the basic story of Esther. We've got the queen. The current Queen Vashti, and she's called to appear at a lavish party with her husband, the king. But she said, you know what? I don't want to go. And because of that, she lost her place in the kingdom. King got very mad. He says, well, I'm going to do a new search. So they made a new search for a brand new queen. After about 2 years, the beautiful and submissive Esther, who is Jewish, but nobody knows that, and her older cousin, Mordecai, who's also Jewish, and who took care of her when her parents died. And in Hebrew, her name is Hadassah, which means myrtle, which is a symbol of everlasting life and pleasant fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
But her Persian name of Esther means something hidden, like a star during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen. Because you can't find those stars during the day, can
That's
you?
Right.
But Sheila, on the surface of this story, really, there is no mention of the name of God. There's no reference to worship or faith, no prediction of the Messiah, no mention of heaven and hell. There's actually nothing religious about it. As a matter of fact, I think Luther wanted to have this book removed from the canon.
He did.
For these reasons. So why
that's
is
the reasons
it?
He gave. But
that's the reasons he gave, but we know there's other reasons. We're not going to go there today.
Okay.
Yeah. But why is it included in the canon? I mean, it's a nice story.
Okay. But it definitely is a nice story.
And yeah.
If it wasn't included, and just suppose that Haman got what he wanted, the whole Jewish race would have been annihilated. So it is an important story.
Yeah, and I think it's very important, too, because for us and those of us that are Christians, that would mean that possibly the line of our Messiah might have been.
Well, yeah. Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Hello.
God had other plans, but on
yes.
the surface, you know, we don't see this stuff. But wow, we're going to look at some of this today. But there's a lot hidden within this book, sort of like the stars during the day.
Uh-huh.
But let me continue right now, however, with the story, and then we'll look at the things which are hidden. Okay. So as the story progresses, and after a few years, the king's prime minister, whose name was Haman, he was a treacherous enemy of Esther and the cousin Mordecai, because Mordecai would never bow down to Haman, which was a custom to prime ministers. I mean, they had, you know, there were VIPs and people bowed down to Haman as well as to the king, but Mordecai never would, and so it made Haman furious, okay? So Haman plots to exterminate the Jewish race. And, of course, again, this is something Satan's been trying to do since God's promise in the Garden of Eden, but he never exceeds.
Mm. Now, Sheila, isn't Haman descended from the Amalekites that God told King Saul of Israel to annihilate, you know, all those years before?
You got that right,
yeah.
John. And we see here the consequences of Saul's disobedience right here in this story. Therefore, Haman and now Mordecai, which is the descendant of Saul, are really caught reenacting a very similar scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier. And again, another proof that history does repeat itself.
It does. And, you know, it can go back, clear back to Deuteronomy when, let's see, in chapter 25, verses 17 through 19, God tells the people, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you departed from Egypt, how he attacked you, attacked your weak ones. He attacked Israel when they were at their weakest, and he attacked the weakest members. And he said,
weren't they the first ones to attack?
They were, yeah. They were the first ones. And God says, don't forget to wipe them out.
Right.
And
right.
So it goes back even before King Saul.
And, of course, Haman is a descendant of the Amalekites.
Right. Now, if King Saul would have been obedient,
right,
the Jews would not even wouldn't be facing this again. See?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Haman is second in command under the king in this kingdom. But as long as Mordecai lives, he cannot have any peace. Now, bitter jealousy, Haman succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king, and proceeds to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and totally annihilate all the Jews in all the provinces. And that would be including Israel, which there were a few had gone back to Israel after the Babylonian captivity. So Haman casts lots. Now, this is where we get the name Purim, because a lot is like dice.
Is
yes.
it like dice?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they could have been little bones or something.
They cast lots. But that was a custom that they did. And the Persian name for lots, or is it the Hebrew? It's the Hebrew name for lots is Pur. So whenever you want to pluralize it, you add I-M.
I-M.
If it's Hebrew.
If the gender is masculine, yeah.
Okay, so that's where we get Purim.
Purim, like it's called.
Plural for lots, because he cast lots.
He cast lots.
Because he wanted to know when to hang Mordecai. He wanted to know when to do it. So he cast these lots, and the lots came up on the biblical calendar of Adar, which is this month.
Yeah.
Okay, and that would have been 11 months later, because when he cast the lots, it was getting ready for the season of Passover, which was Nisan 13.
Okay,
and we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But when Mordecai realizes Haman's evil plan, and he finds out, he beseeches his cousin, who he raised, Queen Esther. And again, the king still does not know that she is Jewish. And he says, intercede with the king on behalf of the Jews. You have to. She tells Mordecai, well, all right, fast, though, for the next 3 days, which would be the 14th, the 15th, and the 13th still, of Nisan.
That's
of course,
the Passover time,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Right.
Yeah.
At which time Esther requests admittance to the king's presence.
Now, this was taking a big risk, because no one was allowed to enter the king's presence under penalty of death unless he called them. The king has to call you.
Even the wife.
Yeah.
That seems so strange to me, but, you know, that's what he did. But anyway, he did love her, and out of his great love for her, the king did agree and promises her anything. Now, again, I want to implore you to read the whole story and get all these details, because we're just kind of covering the surface, because we're going to get to some real meat here. But at a banquet now, on the 17th of the first month on the biblical calendar, which is Nisan, we're still in Nisan, now it's the 17th, Queen Esther reveals the plot of the wicked Haman to kill the Jews, and along with the truth about herself being Jewish. So the king was furious, because he really did love Esther. So he orders Haman, along with his sons, to be hanged on the very gallows that Haman had made for the Jews. The Jewish people were spared, and the stepson of Esther was the king then later who gave the decree for the Jews to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And that's a very important date, because that's the date that Daniel talks about in Daniel 9:24-27, that when that decree is made, you have to count 70 weeks or 490 years. And exactly at, actually, sorry, 483 years. And exactly at the end of that day, and I believe that is 173,880 days, exactly would be Palm Sunday,
when Jesus rode in on a donkey.
It is just amazing when you know these details. It just really is.
Really makes the story. And the story, the story of Esther, the book of Esther, exists on its own, even without knowing it, as a pretty ironic or lots of, you know, treachery. And it would all the makings of a good movie. And as a matter of fact, the Jews put on Esther plays, they call Purim spiels,
right,
you know, at this time of year.
Right. And we did that one time also.
Yeah, we did. We did one too.
Yeah.
And it came out very well. You know.
But each time I read this story, I see more pictures. And I hope you out there too will read and try to find your own pictures. The more obvious ones are, of course, the dates. So on the 17th of Nisan, like I just said, Haman, who I believe is a picture of the Antichrist, and his sons are hung, representing new life to the Jews and death of their enemy. Now, you might not know what the Nisan 17 is, but it's actually the Feast of First Fruits. It's also the day that Jesus rose from the dead, giving new life to all who believe and defeating Satan.
Yes.
Let's also not forget that on the 17th of Nisan, the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, giving them new life from bondage while defeating another enemy, Pharaoh, and his army. Also a picture. And then the other thing is Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat on Nisan 17, representing new life to the human race. I mean, people, this stuff is just amazing. The Bible is so detailed, and it just makes you know that only God could have written it.
That's
and
right.
Way too after break when we see all the hidden things that we're going to see also. But just one more thing before we take a break. I want to also say that if Haman represents the Antichrist who rules over 10 nations, perhaps that is why Haman had 10 sons. Okay, Haman's a picture of the Antichrist.
Yeah, right.
He's going to rule over 10 nations.
That's
there
right.
There are the 10 horns. And maybe that's why Haman had 10 sons, who were all destroyed, by the way. During the month of Adar, which is now, when Haman's lot fell to hang all the Jews all throughout the kingdom of 127 provinces, which included Israel, the festival of Purim takes place. And in celebration is a time of fun, and as we mentioned, game playing, dressing in costumes, and joyful remembrance. And during the reading of Esther, which is called the Megillah, Mordecai and Esther, when the names come up, are cheered. But when anybody reads and says Haman, then it goes boo, to the point that no one wants to hear his name over the uproar.
Oh, I should have brought one of those clackers.
I know,
with
I
me
almost
today.
Called you and
you
told you to bring
me
that.
Told me.
But a three-cornered cookie filled with fruit is eaten to commemorate Haman's three-cornered hat. So, again, out there, I implore you to read the book of Esther this week and have a Purim party with your children. If you have children, you really need to do this for a great learning experience of God's Word.
Amen. That is cool. Well, parents, teach your children about these stories because it is pleasing to God. That's our job as parents, right?
And I'm going to do one more little information here before we take a break.
Okay.
There's other pictures, of course, in here. And Mordecai, I believe, he's a picture of Jesus. And he takes Esther, who's a picture of the bride, to see the king. Because when Jesus meets us in the air, he will take us to God the Father. And right now, he is the king. Mordecai had adopted Esther. And Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians say we are adopted into...
Yeah, Paul writes that, doesn't he? That we are adopted.
So, I believe Esther can represent the believers who do accept the invitation, where Vashti refused, could be a picture of the unbelievers who don't. Then we see Haggai right in the beginning, and he, I believe, represents the Holy Spirit because he prepared Esther and made her beautiful prior to going to see the king, as the Holy Spirit does for us right now. Reading his word, we're becoming more beautiful.
That's right. And it took a lot of oil, didn't it, to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of makeup.
Haman represents the Antichrist and Haman's 10 sons, the 10 nations, and the Antichrist who the Antichrist will rule over. But Haman also had a wife named Zeresh, and perhaps she represents the woman in Revelation, which is false religion. The 10 sons of Haman is written in the 9th chapter, and each name has a very negative, prideful meaning. Look them up. These are actual people with awful meaning names.
That is so wild.
And there's much more pictures, and we're going to get into some acrostics and some acronyms, these messages that are hidden inside the text, in the Hebrew text, when we come back.
All right. And the lines will be open when we come back. If you have a question, and especially on our subject today, or any end time eschatology type question, the number is 216-901-0933. Or just simply dial 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. That's 888-677-9673. Now, since we cover such a big area on the radio, we would both like to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. So tell your pastor and ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. I'd like to add, too, that I'll be out at Oasis Fellowship tonight doing some Hebrew worship music, and we will be teaching a little Hebrew roots class there. And my friend Ray Lopez, have any questions about that? That is tonight. And you can call Ray. I'll give you his phone number later. I would also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or just give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. Perhaps you'd like to help sponsor the show, advertise your company on Christian radio, and maybe you could refer someone who could. You can reach Sheila for details by calling 440-834-9006. Once again, those numbers for your end time questions and a question about what we're talking about today, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Now stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break. And by the way, a great song by a guy I know pretty well.
You.
Yeah, me. It's called Like a Sparrow.
That's right. Great song.
Stay with us now. Shalom, radio listeners. Are you looking for another career? Could the Lord be leading you into a new field in a happy and safe environment with people who really appreciate and are thankful for what you do? Well, if you are pleasant and like children and newborns, Alexandria's Training School is looking for people of all ages to be certified in this in-demand child care industry. Call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. Or, if you need nanny care for your precious little ones, the number's the same, 440-781-7531. And tell Carolyn you heard about this opportunity on WHKWradio.com.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
So, here's a new idea. What this country needs right now is a new bailout, right? Let's put a new tax on something and then send money to people who don't really need it. That'll work. This time, they want to put a new tax on every song played on the radio. And who gets a pile of money? Hundreds of millions of dollars? Giant record companies, most of which are in foreign countries. We'll pay all the money, and they'll keep gobs of it. Great. It's a bad idea. It could bankrupt local radio stations. But like a lot of bad ideas, it will happen unless we tell our members of Congress to stop it. Join us. Go to www.noperformancetax.org. That's noperformancetax.org. Tell your members of Congress to stop the radio performance tax. That's why the National Association of Broadcasters and this radio station are airing this message. Stop the radio tax.
When the wolves from the credit card company come knocking at your door, it takes a toll on everyone. The associates of the Debt Relief Desk want you to know you don't have to do this alone. In 1 5-minute free consultation, you can discover how debt negotiation can work to relieve the burden of overwhelming credit debt or medical bills. Get a professional debt negotiator to stand between you and your creditors. The Debt Relief Desk. Relief starts here. Call today. 800-375-1165. 800-375-1165.
As devoted pastor of your church, you want your sermons to overflow with rich spiritual inspiration each and every time. Make every sermon the best possible with SermonSearch.com. Access a vast library of fully customizable dynamic church media. Over 20,000 powerful sermons from past and present church leaders, worship backgrounds, and video illustrations. SermonSearch.com helps make your sermons the most powerful they can be. Visit SermonSearch.com for your free 30-day trial. Start downloading free today. That's SermonSearch.com.
So, it's the new year. Need a makeover? Could you use a new do? Or gals and you guys, is that hair getting a little thin? Well, you need to see Michael at Hot Heads Cool Threads Beauty Salon, located in Orange Village at Brainerd and Miles Road. Tell me everyone doesn't at least need a haircut at some time? Hot Heads and Cool Threads are a full-service salon specializing in hair replacement with an added touch of unique threads. So give them a call at 440-248-1888. That's 248-1888. And tell Michael Sheila says shalom.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Make me as one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray. And I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you apply.
Well, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that was a song by yours truly here called Sparrow. Wrote that back in 2003.
Oh, it was so pretty, John. I just love your singing.
Thank you very much. And that was thanks to the engineers here at WHKW. They were able to take a demo that they made that from the demo. So,
nice.
Well, glad you've rejoined us, and I see that we might have a question here.
Mm-hmm. We got it off the air. I don't know if it was an email or a call-in, but
yes.
The question was, when do you think the temple is to be rebuilt? And that's an easy question. I love those ones. Actually, we do not, let me say it again. We will not have to be here when the temple is to be rebuilt. In fact, I doubt that we will. Mm. I believe as soon as we're out of here with the rapture of the church, mm-hmm. that the temple will begin immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already, I understand, like almost prefabricated type of thing.
Right. It's prefabbed.
And so it won't take more than probably 3-4 months.
And there is a Temple Institute that's very near where they're actually, according to, I was thinking Ray Lopez told me this. We don't mean to blame you today, Ray, if this is wrong, but he says that they're building a life-size model very close to Jerusalem itself. And this life-size model could actually be maybe part of the temple.
I don't know if that's true or not.
But it wouldn't take long.
Not going to take long either way.
Yeah.
If you're really interested in this sort of thing, go to your search engine, either on your computer or go to your library, and they'll show you how to do that, and put in the Temple Institute, and it'll give you their webpage, and you can actually see a lot of the things
mm-hmm.
that everything is ready.
Yeah, they have the utensils, they have the bowls, the tongs, the fire pans.
Right.
They have everything ready to go.
Now, the reason that I'm saying that we will not probably be here is because it really talks about measuring it and putting up the temple in Revelation 11.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's after chapter 4,
mm-hmm.
so we will not be here for that.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
And, but we're close.
We're close. And just the fact that it could be constructed so quickly
right
now is a good sign that we're...
And also, they will probably go ahead and start the altar sacrifices, though, immediately without a temple.
Yes.
Just like they did in Ezra.
Shiloh, was it? They had the tabernacle set up at Shiloh before they actually built the temple.
Well, and you know, when they went back after the Babylonian captivity,
mm-hmm.
the book of Ezra talks about how they had the temple. Excuse me, they did not have the temple,
right.
But they did the altar sacrifices anyway. And guess on what day that was.
Oh, would it be Nisan 17?
No, it was Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, okay.
Okay, well.
See, I'm not as smart as you think I am.
Oh, can't remember everything. Okay. We have many more pictures in the book of Esther, and I hope that everyone's enjoying this so far because we are going to get some real meat now.
Esther's a fun time. It's a fun book to read, and they say it's one of the funnest times you could ever spend in Israel. If you go to visit, go during the Feast of Purim, because they said it is like... It's like a Mardi Gras.
So. Well, I also have to say that I've been there doing the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's pretty wild, too.
Yes, I can imagine.
But anyway, again, you can read the book and find probably a lot more pictures than the ones that we've even mentioned, because there's a lot of them. But now I want to bring your focus into some hidden messages,
mm-hmm.
Both acrostics and acronyms in the Hebrew Masoretic text, as well as we're going to see some equal distant lettering that actually spell out the name of Yahweh or God, which is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Mm.
Let me say it one more time. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh spells Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And all throughout the book of Esther, and actually it's a lot in the whole Bible, but particularly in the book of Esther, you see Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in equidistant lettering all throughout the Bible. So let's do some examples.
That's good. Good, good, good. What do you think? What do you mean by the word acrostic, though?
Oh.
What is an acrostic?
The acrostic, actually, it's very close to an acronym, but an acrostic is where I guess they take the first letter of a sentence. The very first word of a sentence or a verse, the first letter,
mm-hmm.
and you put it all together after 4 or 5 sentences,
and it spells a message or a name.
When read in sequence, of course. It's very popular in poetry, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, it is.
You know what I think I should mention, too, that one of the examples of something similar to an acrostic is in Psalm 119,
mm-hmm.
every eighth verse, and of course we know that Jesus' number is an eight because it's unending.
Right.
It's this picture of eternity.
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway.
Because seven's completion.
That's
what
right.
comes after completion? Eternity.
Exactly.
And even the letter, the way you form the letter eight, in itself is a endless circle. Isn't
right. It doesn't
it's
end.
Like a, doesn't
isn't that
end.
Neat?
Yes.
And, of course, our number is a six. Okay, man.
Number of man, yeah.
But every single name of Jesus, you know, like Emmanuel and the Son of God and all that, every mm-hmm. single one, either in Hebrew or Greek, is equally divisible by the number eight. With no remainder.
Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty incredible.
That's in Hebrew, though.
Hebrew and Greek.
And Greek.
And Greek.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing. But anyway, in Psalm 119, every eighth verse begins with the next letter of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Times eight is 176.
Wow.
And that's exactly how many verses there are.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Most of you probably know that already because it's pretty been around. We know that for a long time. But yeah. it's just kind of shows you the detail of God.
Yes.
It really does. And I understand also in Psalm 145 that actually each verse mm-hmm. begins with the next letter of the alphabet.
Right.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. So that's an that's
it's a Hebrew literary tradition.
Yes.
Or device, whatever you call it.
So now, what is an acronym? Now, an acronym, similar but a little different, you take the first letter of consecutive words, okay, of in a phrase or a sentence to spell something. For an example, a famous acrostic was made in Greek for the acclamation Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Now, in Greek, the initials spell ichthys, which is Greek for?
For fish.
Fish.
See, we finally explained the symbol of the fish for you, if you had any mm-hmm. wonders what that was about.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that we use it, of course, along with a lot of other reasons.
There's,
we
have
pictures
yeah,
of men and
yeah,
things like that. But
like that. But yeah, that does stand for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior in Greek.
That's right.
Which is really cool.
Well, let's give a little more examples of an acronym.
Okay.
Perhaps you would want to recall something. You want to remember something. You would maybe make an acronym out of it. For mm-hmm. instance, if you were in school and you had to remember the Great Lakes of North America, which is Lake Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior.
Holmes.
You might want to give it the acronym Holmes, and then it'll be easier to remember.
Elementary.
Okay.
Holmes.
All right. What about Women's Army Corps?
You've got to know what that's WACS. They're called
WACS.
But
yeah.
if you text anybody, you use them all the time.
That's
what's
right.
What's TMI?
Yeah.
Too much information. Yeah.
All right. What about radio detection and ranging?
How about radar for that
yep.
one? Okay.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization?
That's NATO. That's an easy one.
Okay. Okay, now, the Bible does this sort of thing, too. And again, it confirms the fact that only God could have written this Bible. And if you're having believers out there, if you're having trouble with getting people to believe that the Bible is written by God, totally inspired,
yeah.
letter by letter, every jot and every tittle,
mm-hmm.
start showing them these things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many other ways to do that just in prophecy alone, but that's not what we're going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Tanakh. Now, that is the Hebrew
for their Old Testament or their
Old
Bible,
Testament.
We should say. And that stands for Torah, which is the law of Moses, Navaim, which is plural for the prophets, and Ketuvim, which is the writings.
Okay.
So that's where they use the first letter from the Tav, the Nun, and the Chaf, mm-hmm. and it spells Tanakh.
Yeah, that's yeah. where you get it. That's the Old Testament. Now, do you remember on the cross, I think I taught this last year. If not, I'm going to tell you now.
Yes.
But on the cross, Pilate put Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that if you take the first letter of each of those words, the acronym, you get Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And that is...
That's amazing. And that could have been the reason why they wanted the... And that's the name of God. That's
Yahweh.
Yehovah or Yahweh. And that was the reason I believe the religious leaders wanted the sign taken down.
That's right. And I think it's interesting because when you say Women's Army Corps and use the phrase WAC, it means that Women's Army Corps is the whack.
Yes.
Radial detection and ranging means ranging means that it is radar.
Mm-hmm.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization means it is NATO. Well, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, he is God.
There you go. That's great.
Amen. All right, now, in the book of Esther, in chapter 1, verse 20, in the very first phrase, excuse me, in the first chapter, in the 20th verse, in the area where it says, let wives give honor,
mm-hmm.
directly in the middle of this verse, going left to right, you see Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, in four words, the mm-hmm. first letter, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, which spells Yahweh.
So there is God in the text of Esther there in a way that you probably didn't think it could be.
I know, it's hidden.
But there it is.
We see it again in chapter 5, verse 4, this time going right to left, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, in the area where it says, let the king and Haman come today.
How can we see this if you just have a regular Bible?
You can't. You have to have the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can get that, of course, by getting yourself an interlinear Bible.
Okay.
And, you know, for 100 or two, I don't know exactly how much they are anymore. I've had mine forever. And I can go through and I can start looking for these letters. And, of course, I have my Hebrew alphabet sitting next to me, so I can always, because I don't have it memorized like you do. But even if it's just a regular Joe like me can look at these things and see it. Just need a little training. And, you can get that training by coming out to Burton Assembly.
That's right.
This is the kind of thing that we do because I want to take people deeper into the Word of God. There's so much richness and gold nuggets that Christians are missing.
I know. And that was, way back in the time of, it's second and third century, the time of Constantine and everything. And we, the church, just lost so much.
Oh, yes.
When it started getting away from the Hebrew roots,
mm-hmm.
we lost a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. And
absolutely.
But you know what? Part of
coming
the reason
back.
It's coming back is because God's getting ready to make his bride beautiful again.
That's right.
And for
I think Hebrews
expectation, we should be expecting him to come.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways he does that is like this king's servant in the story is he's making beautiful the bride.
Yes, he
you
is.
Know, and the Holy Spirit is leading us. And that is I wish I would have prayed that, but that's always my prayer as you listeners, that God leads you by his Spirit and draws you into this. Because it'll give you the want to's. Once you get into this, even I don't care what your level of understanding of the Bible is.
Yeah.
Once the Holy Spirit starts drawing you into
into
this, you'll find a relationship with God. There's a side to that you've never experienced before,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful.
Oh yeah, and you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. He
and you don't
you
have to be a scholar. Hey,
indeed.
I'm living proof of that.
So am I.
I know.
I wasn't an A student or anything.
Oh well, I was worse than that.
Gosh. But here's now what we just looked at. We looked at chapter 1 and we looked at chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 1 we saw Yod-Heh Vav-Heh going left to right, and in chapter 5 we saw Yod-Heh Vav-Heh going right to left.
Okay.
Well, what's interesting is this speaks to everyone, because some languages go from left to right, like ours,
mm-hmm.
while other languages go right to left. And in fact, here's a gold nugget. All languages flow to Jerusalem. Countries east of Jerusalem go from right to left, like the Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, Sanskrit, the Orientals.
Hmm.
But nations that are west of Jerusalem go left to right.
So everything seems to point.
Points to Jerusalem.
To Jerusalem.
Isn't that amazing?
That's how it should be,
gosh. This is awesome.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have to hurry because we only got a few minutes. But again, in chapter 5:13, we see a very similar thing going left to right in verse 13, Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, again, spells Yahweh, where it says, this is no gain to mean.
Mm.
So, Yahweh not pleased with that. The other one is chapter 7, verse 7, when Haman realizes he is doomed. We see Yod-Heh Vav-Heh going right to left, where it says evil was determined against him.
Wow.
Yeah. So, again.
Next Saturday, you can see the stuff on the overhead. Come out. Come out. We won't be on the radio, but, hey, we're even better in person.
Right. And I have all this written out for people.
We'll have this written out for you. So you're invited. The shofar is all invited, actually, next week, 6:15. Call for directions.
That's right.
And they come far and wide to get the meat of the word, because it is the meat that you must have for sufficient growth. You don't want to run around in your figurative diapers as a Christian all your life,
you
right?
Got it. Right. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of different things here now.
Okay.
Instead of Yahweh, we can see the I am encoded in the verses as well. In chapter 7, verse 5.
I am, always, yeah.
Yeah. E-H-Y-H, actually. And do you want to say those Hebrew words?
Yeah.
Hey, Yod.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and...
Aleph, hey,
okay.
Yod, hey.
Yes, the very name God used in Exodus when he announced he'd be delivering his people from Pharaoh will once again deliver them from Haman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That is true.
And also in chapters 1, verse 3, we have actually equal distant lettering. We see the name Mashiach encoded. What is the number for Jesus? It's 8.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every 8th letter, you pick up the next letter in the... Mashiach,
starting with the letter M for Messiah in the word reign in Hebrew, and going forth 8 letters to the next letter, which would be a shin, and then 8 more to the next letter, which is a yud, and 8 more to the last letter, which is a chet.
And that spells
Mashiach.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you
for your help on that one, John.
Sure, no problem.
And we're going to have to close here, but I just want to say write down... Chapter 4, verse 17, we see Yeshua counting also every 8 letters. In chapter 4, verse 2, we see El Shaddai spelled out every 7 letters, where it says, between the king's gate, clothed with sackcloth in every province. And even in Esther 3:12, this is a good one. When the king is speaking to Haman, starting with the first hey in Haman, counting every 6 letter, 6 is the number of man, it actually reads, John, Haman v'Satan Reach, which means Haman and Satan stink.
That is amazing. And I just, how would you, well, see, that's why you got to keep listening, folks.
Yeah, I know. And
are
you really need to come next week. Yeah, we're out of
time. We got 3 whole minutes.
Well,
okay, I guess we have to wrap it up.
Remember
to join us next Saturday at
Shofar
Ministries.
I'll have a lot more examples of this and... some notes for you to actually take home and show your people.
Yes. And join me tonight.
But you have to come out to Shofar to get them.
And join me tonight. I'll be out at Oasis Fellowship. If you want information on how to get there, it's out on the west side, very close to all the freeways. Call Ray Lopez at 216-269-4791. He'd be happy to tell you how to get there. We're going to be doing more Hebrew roots in Spanish and Espanol and English. If you have a question for Sheila, or if you'd like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at Sheila, that's spelled S-H-E-I-L-A, at shofarministries.net.
S-H-O-F as in Frank A-R.
S-H-O-F as in Frank A-R, ministries. So any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor.
Yes, please.
Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. All donations automatically will put you on the monthly newsletter full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days right here and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage, newsletters, and previous shows are archived. Thanks to Lou Buckles, who is very fair priced and willing to help you with your own webpage at sonfishdesign.com, sonfishdesign.com. And a great study for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2. And now the Spring Feasts available on Sheila's website as well as shofarministries.net. Or just give her a call, 440-834-9006.
Yeah, and the Spring Feasts, they are really right around the corner, and you could get a big handle on that if you just get the DVD. It'll tell you all about them, and you'll understand a lot better.
Uh-huh. And it'll make your relationship with God so much...
That's the whole idea.
...sweeter and more understanding. Well, we'd like to close, I guess, with the Aaronic blessing. And as I'm lifting my hands here in the studio, you can. And from the Shin, Yevrechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha, v'yasem lacha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Till next week. Shalom.
No, 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Shalom. Yerushalayim. That's Psalm 122.6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
And it says shall, not maybe.
Not maybe.
See you in 2 weeks.
See you in two.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word.